It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, good afternoon, and welcome to a Monday edition of the Dennis Stuckey Show. Normally on a Monday, I'd go right into the highlights from high school football on Friday night. We'll get to that in our second segment, because in our first segment, we've got a special guest here. Kenny Semmelsberger has joined us on the program, and it was a special night on Friday, not just because it was the Port Huron High, Port Huron Northern game, but it was a real special night for Kenny, who was on the sidelines for his final game in coaching after 50 years. Kenny, five decades.
It's a long time. Yep. Started in 1967 at St. Jude's Elementary School on the east side of Detroit, coaching fifth and sixth grade basketball. And since then, I've either been a coach at a school or the athletic director for the last 50 years.
That is outstanding. First off, congratulations. That's a lot of community service, and that's a lot of young people that you've had an influence on. I don't know, do you ever sit back and think about that, all the young people that you were a mentor to?
Yes, I do. I think that's one of the great things about coaching, is that you get a chance to get feedback from those kids. You know, it was such a bittersweet game Friday night. You know, congratulations to Northern, great win for them. And it was tough saying goodbye to the players. You know, I'll see him again here and there, but that relationship you have with the one-on-one, the everyday relationship you have during the season. And like, I've had a great group of kids I've coached over the years, all the way from my days back at St. Jude and Servite. And I coached at De La Salle for a year, at St. Clair for a year, and 19 seasons on the sideline at Port Huron High. If you add them all up, comes to 50 years. But it's such a great thrill to have this, to be able to do this. I've been so lucky to be able to do it, to have a family and wives that did allow me to do this, it's been an awesome experience.
Yeah, you were telling me the story. You have to tell this story. You were coaching Servite, and you guys came up here to play, and that's kind of how you ended up in Port Huron.
That's exactly how I ended up in Port Huron. I was coaching at Detroit Servite, and we couldn't find an opening game, and finally I contacted Port Huron Central and played Port Huron Central. Came up, we had a fairly good game, and at the end of the game, we're going to get back on the team bus, and Chet Wodrinski, who was the principal at the time, and Eric Payton, who was the band director, stopped me on the way back to the bus, and Mr. Wodrinski said, "How'd you like to coach here?" And I really didn't know much about Port Huron High School, and I said, "Well, I'd be interested," and he said, "Well, I'm going to give you a call." So I gave him my number, and that was in September. And in January, I got a call from Mr. Wodrinski, and he said, "When can you come up for an interview?" And I said, "Well, I didn't even know I applied yet, but okay." So I came up for an interview. I think it was around the first week of February. Actually, it was the last week in January. And as I walked out of the interview, he asked me, he said, "How soon can you be here?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You still have other people you're interviewing." He said, "I didn't say that. I asked you, when can you be here?" It's, "Well, I want to talk to my wife, and I'll get 30 days, at least get 30 days notice." So I went home. By the time I had gotten home, he had called my wife and invited her up for dinner on Sunday. So my wife and I went up there for dinner on Sunday, and after him and his wife talked to my wife said, "This is where we belong." And so I gave my 30 days notice, and March 1st, 1978, I started at Port Huron High School.
Wow. They wanted you.
Mr. Wodrinski, he said that he had talked to some of the officials, and at that time I was a young coach, and they had said that I was a young coach who had coached at a small school and had done a pretty good job there, and they thought I could do a job. So some of the officials recommended me, and he was friends with some of these officials, and that's how I got my name, and that's kind of how it got started.
I always have fun with Ken, because he's one of the guys that knew my dad.
Yep.
Lost my dad about, well, it'll be 7 years. Yeah, 7 years this Christmas to leukemia. But yeah, you coached against my dad a lot down in the old Catholic League.
In the old Catholic League. He was at St. David's for years, and he had some great players there, George Gedeke and Mullins and all those guys that were down at on the east side. That was a great community there. And back in those days, there was 72 schools in the Catholic League at one time, and all the coaches knew each other, and of great battles with each other. Then we would all meet someplace after on Friday nights after the game or Saturday nights, and we'd compare notes and stuff. It was an awesome place to learn as a young coach, to get guys like your dad, who was a tremendous coach, a veteran coach, to learn from and watch what he did and how he handled people, how he handled kids, how he handled situations. And I think that's where I learned a lot of the things I still do today.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Larry Rollins is a guy that played for the Big Reds, and now he's coaching at Port Huron Northern. So, when you say bittersweet on Friday night, it is kind of bittersweet, but a part of you has got to feel good for Larry.
Oh, he's great. He's a great young man. And when they hired him, that was the best move they could have made. He's a kid that's a hard worker. He's dedicated. He's a Big Red. We always tell him, we're kidding, he's still a Big Red. Remember that. But he's done a great job. And he's the kind of guy, he's already turned the program around. You know, and he wants to see him get better and grow and move up into the blue and white divisions where Port Huron High has been and stuff, and so we compete against other in the league. So, he's done an outstanding job. He was a great quarterback for us, a great leader, and that's what he is at Port Huron Northern.
And he used to throw the ball deep to a guy named Terry Mitchell.
Yep.
Terry's going into the Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame this weekend?
Saturday night.
Yep.
I get the honor of introducing him for his induction.
Yeah, and this is really neat too, because again, you're part of the Hall of Fame committee, which is another way that you give back to the community, and you get to put one of your guys in. That's got to be a thrill.
It's awesome. Yep, it is. It's awesome. Terry, I talked to him. He was at the game Friday night. We talked briefly, and like I said, I'm going to introduce him. Here's a kid that came from Port Huron High School and had some tough things happen to him in his background, but he came out of it. He ended up winning 4 national championships. He has 4 national football championship rings, 2 at Harper College, and I was fortunate enough to be involved in that a little bit at the time that he's getting out of high school. A lot of schools were recruiting him, just didn't have the grades that he needed at the time, so he went to Harper College where my brother had worked, and I had told my brother about him. He contacted the football coach. Coach contacted Terry. Terry went there, and he won 2 national champions, 2 national championships. Then when he graduated from left Harper, he went to Grand Valley where he won 2 more national championships. And actually was with the Washington Redskins for a while and has played semi-pro football and has won some national championships with those guys. So you see, if you want a winner, hang around Terry Mitchell.
I think there's going to be a few more Big Red kids that are going to come through. I got a feeling there's some Chapman boys that belong in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's for sure. The whole 2011 team and kids like Alex Amox and Mark Chapman. I mean, that was probably of all the teams I've coached over the years, that was probably one of the greatest thrills, the run to the regional finals. And those kids were such great kids, and the team was gelled so together. In fact, I knew it was a different team when after about the second day of practice, they were all talking about their ACT scores. It was like, okay, I didn't ever heard this from PH kids before. And they were all working out towards your college, getting ready for college and stuff. And they just had great camaraderie, and they just did everything together. It was just a great thrill. Hopefully that team will get into the Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame in the near future.
Just the whole culture at PH has really changed. I got here in 95. And Northern was dominating in the football matchup, and they were the kind of the cockier school, and PH people, there wasn't a whole lot of pride at that time. But in the last 15 to 20 years, and it started, I think, with the football program, PH started winning that game regularly, and it kind of filtered through in everything else at the school, and the Big Reds were no longer – little brother,
right?
Now they were the team in the area that people talked about.
Well, when I first came to Port Huron High School back in 1978, Port Huron High had lost to Northern like 8 straight times, and then the first 2 years we lost 2 tough games to them. Then when we beat them in 1981, it was like the onus was left off our shoulders. The monkey was off our shoulders, and from then on, that started it, I think, and then we had some downtime again in the early 90s, and we were real strong in the late 80s and early 90s. It kind of went the other way, and then we've won 8 out of the last 10. So the South End had a lot of pride in what we were doing, and I think it just meant a lot to our community that now we weren't the little whipping boys anymore. We're the and Port Huron High went through a tough time. When the reason partly this is part of this is the way it was there. Poirier High went from one school back in the 60s to three. And so the talent was diluted. A lot of people moved to the North End. A lot of people were North End. And then Central was evolved. Mm-hmm. So there was three schools. You'd be one. And the powerhouse was now gone, was divided up. And as a result, it's taken a long time for that to kind of heal and kind of work its way out. So it's if you get a chance to see the film that was made about the history of Poirier High School football, it shows that and talks about that a lot.
Yeah, I'd be really interested actually in seeing that. The other thing that happened, you got here in 78, and it was, what, 81, where we didn't have sports?
Right, 1980, we had 78, 79, and 1980, we dropped sports completely. And that hurt us because what happened was they did it as a cost-saving measure and it kind of forced the people to voting for a millage. But what happened was tons of kids left. They left the district and never came back. Probably, I think there was a number that they reported was about 200 kids. You multiply that times 5 or 7, whatever there was at the time, 5 or 7,000, they lost more money than it cost to put the programs on. So, and that happened. I happened to be lucky enough to go down to St. Clair that year and coach, and we had kids from Poirier and High playing on that team. And some kids from Poirier and Northern went to Marysville. And it was, you know, they were all over the area where Poirier kids that were playing because we didn't have sports.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that they got it back, and hopefully we never get into a situation like that. I know a lot of places they do pay to play. I'd rather have that than have no program at all.
Yeah, we do now. We still have the pay to participate in the programs, but it's a nominal amount. It's like $25 to $100 per kid, depending on their financial situation, where a lot of school districts are $250, $350, $400 a kid. So, but it's the programs, what they mean to kids, it's invaluable.
Always a tough question, but I got to ask, in 50 years, do you have a big memory, one of those things that happened while were coaching that you'll never forget? It'll be the one that you always keep with you?
There's actually probably two that I would say stand out. One is in 1978, my first game at Poirier High School. I could actually go back to Servite when we beat Dearborn Divine Child, who was rated number one in the state. And we beat them 9-6. And Bill McCartney, who was a coach at, ended up being a coach at Colorado, was a coach at Divine Child. We won that game 9-6. He still accuses me of watering the field down to stop his fast guys, and I'll never admit to doing it. But we played at Finney High School, so I had nothing to do with it. Then probably in Poirier, on the two biggest moments were, first of all, my first game at Poirier High School. They had lost 26 straight games. And the community was down, and I can remember going into that game and against Lance Cruz High, who had won the division the year before, and taking our kids down there trying to get them to believe we could win. That was the hardest thing. They just didn't believe they could win. And we were fortunate enough to win that game 20-0, and I can remember them carrying me off the field and people from the other school were looking at, what are they doing this for? They didn't realize that we had gone through that. And the other thing was the first time they'd beaten, in 1981, we beat Poirier Northern 14-7, the first time they'd beaten them in 10 years. And the same thing. The kids carried me out the field, and the crowd was amazing, and it was just those three moments probably in my career are the highlights. And you know what? No, really, the highlight is though all the relationships I've made over the years. The individual kids, when they call you back, talk to you. I got a call from a Mark Nato, who played for me in my first year here at Poirier High. He is now out in Hawaii, where he's the director of one of the schools out in Hawaii. He called me a few years ago out of the blue and said, Coach, I just wanted to thank you for what you did for me. And I'm still using some of the things that you taught me back in 1978. So those kind of things are what really count.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what are you going to do now?
Oh, I'm not going to be laying around the house doing nothing, believe me. My wife won't let that happen, number one. But I'm going to spend more time with my family. And I lost my first wife to cancer in 2006, and I got fortunate enough that I'll keep my coverage for the second time when I married my second wife, Debbie. And we have three grandchildren on her side and two on my side. We're going to spend more time with those grandkids. My kids are out west. My son, Kevin, teaches out in Phoenix. My daughter, Michelle, and her kids are out in Albuquerque. She's a teacher with my son-in-law, Christian. And I have a handicapped son who lives here in town with us. And then My wife's family is from Chicago, and so we're going to spend some time doing that. We're going to travel some and just kind of enjoy it. I'm still busy with Poirier Area Schools. I'm doing some special projects with them. And if you see the signs at the stadium, those are our corporate sponsors. I do that and some other things for the district. And I'm involved in the community with the Poirier Area Sports Hall of Fame. I'm still involved with the Michigan Athletic Directors Association. So I'm keeping busy.
Perfect. And, hey, I got to thank you, too. I feel lucky that I got here in 95 and you were one of the first people to reach out a hand and welcome me to the community. Yep. And anytime I've ever needed anything and I've called you, you've come through for me.
Well,
so
thank you. I
really appreciate it, Kenny.
Okay, thank you.
Kenny Semmelsberger celebrating 50 years. 50 years.
I'm just old, that's all.
You and me both. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. We're here until 5 o'clock on AM 1380 WPHL.